Thank you for expressing yourself. This is Liberation Station Radio Show. I'm Chris Steiner. The second hour here on October 9th, 2022. The site is theliberationstation.com. And the chat room is on the listen/archives page. See, you folks are chatting in there, posting some links that I'll have a chance, Mer Bailey, to reference in a little bit here. Looks interesting. Thanks for posting the episode that we just played from Dr. Paul Thomas and Bernadette Pager being interviewed. Then I'll get back into this article, get back into the topic, switching over to the article at the Daily Mail that I was hoping to have found when I started here, which is the original source had a lot more information, some graphs that will show up on the screen here. This is the lockdown effect. Record numbers of children are being hospitalized with colds after their immunity was weakened by social distancing and masks, CDC report reveals. Record number of tests on inpatients under 18 years old picked up a common virus in August last year. The level was comparable only to December in previous years, when it has also crossed the 50% mark. Scientists warned the sharp rise was likely due to lockdowns weakening immunity among children. This article just 3 days ago, October 6th, 2022. Pardon me, folks. Oh, okay. You say you have dead air. Sorry, Sam. How long was I off the air? Oh, gee. All right, folks. I'm going to back up a little bit here. I wish I could tell where I left off, because I had put myself on mute a little while ago, and I don't know if Skype had just caught up with me or if I had been off the air for maybe a minute or so when I first clicked it, because I clicked it in order to cough and see that I saw at the time that it had not muted, so maybe it was a delayed mute. And gosh, if I missed any of this vital information, I'd hate to do that. Let me see if I can go over for a delayed play on the Facebook live feed really quickly here. It's pulling up. Apologize for this technical difficulty, folks. I'm not sure if this is going to do what I want. Let's see. Okay, I'm going to keep talking until it plays. I'm going to back up here, folks, because this delayed feed isn't going to cut it. So just to make sure I get the information out there, this is the Daily Mail article, and I'm going to cut through some of the, I'm going to abbreviate some of the information that I've already read. This is the title of the article from 3 days ago, The Lockdown Effect. Record numbers of children are being hospitalized with colds after their immunity was weakened by social distancing and masks. CDC report reveals, this article by Luke Andrews. It's saying more children and young people are being hospitalized with colds and respiratory problems than ever after the COVID pandemic, officials suggest. Experts have repeatedly warned lockdowns and measures used to contain COVID, like face masks, also suppressed the spread of germs, which are crucial for building a strong immune system in children. This retrospective report by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention today showed levels of common cold viruses hit their highest level ever among under 18s in August 2021. The CDC samples random pediatric hospitals across the U.S. and makes national estimates to gauge how prevalent viruses are. There were nearly 700 children in hospital sick with respiratory virus across 7 wards studied in August last year, of which just over half had tested positive for respiratory syncytial virus, or RSV, which is normally benign. This was the highest levels ever recorded in summer and came off the back of a year and a half of brutal pandemic restrictions, forcing many to stay indoors. The record all-time high is in December, when 60% of children on wards with respiratory illnesses were infected with RSV. While the report only looked at August 2021, separate data from the CDC indicates that hospital visits for children under 4 years old with respiratory problems may be getting worse. In the week ending September 18 this year, of all emergency department visits for toddlers, 4.7% were for breathing difficulties across the U.S., a record high. Dr. Scott Roberts, a medical director at Yale University, today told DailyMail.com that lockdowns rob children of the chance to build up immunity to common bugs. In this graph, hospital visits due to reactive airways disease / asthma among children aged 5 to 17 years old is spiking upwards. And you can see in recent years, they're looking at 2018 through 2022. I'm showing this up on the screen. And sorry, folks, for the background. It was very unscientific of them to have put in this graph a background of a person who I will not gender misidentify. It shows a person using a breathing inhaler, and that should not be on the background of a line graph or any graph, I think, to make it a viewable, but I can see on the Facebook live feed the contrast makes it come out quite clearly. So you can see that here in 2022, we're pretty high. It came down a few weeks ago, but down below, but the new high is up there compared to recent years. The only year that's higher was 2020 so far this year. This next article is, graph in the article, for those on the, I'll just show it on the screen briefly, for those on the video stream, respiratory virus detections among enrolled children and adolescents aged less than 18 years old, with research-tested specimens by highest level of care in inpatient, which is labeled A, emergency department, which is B, and outpatient, which is C, settings. This is the source of the new vaccine surveillance network, December 6, 2016 through August 2021. And I'm not going to go through that. The next graph is hospital visits due to reactive airway disease, asthma among children aged 0 to 4 years old. And it's among, it's the highest that it's ever been in the last 5 years, spiking up so far. Ever since, let's see, we are right about in week 36 right now. So ever since about week 31 of this year, we have been at an all-time high compared to all previous years since 2018. The above graph, that shows the proportion of ER visits among children 0 to 4 years old that were due to reactive respiratory disease or asthma, a term for cases where children suffer a severe cough. It shows that during 2021, the proportion hit its highest level since records began. The record rise was revealed today in Morbidity and Mortality Weekly Report. That's from the CDC, MMWR, the country's premier publication on infectious diseases and healthcare. Scientists monitored 7 hospitals in the U.S. for the number of children who had been admitted for respiratory illnesses. These hospitals were in 7 states, including Washington, Texas, New York, and Ohio. All participants had at least one symptom of respiratory disease, including a cough, earache, runny nose, sore throat, or and shortness of breath. Trying to get the CDC report to show up on screen so folks can see from 2 days ago, October 7th, 2022. This report was posted. And back to the article. Each of the participants was then tested to determine which disease they had been infected with. This does not necessarily mean that they had been hospitalized because of this disease. The report does not include data for the rest of 2021 or into this year. Data showed that among the nearly 700 who were hospitalized with respiratory illnesses in August 2021, nearly 55% tested positive for RSV. Of the 450 that were moved to emergency departments, nearly 35% had RSV. This level was also comparable to the winter months when more than 30% of the patients regularly have the virus. But in the summer, when the data is from, this was usually at a much lower level. Common respiratory viruses were virtually absent during the COVID pandemic as restrictions such as face masks and stay-at-home orders stopped them from spreading. And wink, wink, nod, nod is, I'm going to have to interject there because they're going to give credit to face masks and stay-at-home orders for certain diseases not spreading and COVID running rampant. Well, that's not really to be believed. And folks, if you're watching on Facebook Live, the Facebook Live feed was cut short for some reason. So I'm going to, after the show, about an hour after the show, just take the Skype video and post it up on the video stream so you can follow along. Try to fix the contrast on this other camera. Even though it's the same type of camera, I can't ever get it to look as decent as the Facebook feed does. So, yeah, I think that I just think that it's a lack of keeping track of the flu and RSV, perhaps. At least with the flu, we know that the CDC stopped reporting, as they admitted on their own website, 2020-2021 flu season, which I've covered on this site in the past. Covered on this on the show in the past. If you ask me, I can give you that reference once again. They say basically on their own website they're leaving it up to the states. So continue with this article. Oh, and also they also classified the COVID and PIC, P-I-C, pneumonia, influenza, COVID. And that's a way to obfuscate the data. And it's interesting that I was hearing just today in the clip that we might get a chance to play from the last McCullough report, Dr. Peter McCullough's podcast, an interview with Dr. Maria Eugenia Barrientos, MD from El Salvador, talking about her approaches and how they really contrast with Dr. McCullough's things that she's using, Dr. McCullough doesn't use as much of, and the things that he listed off she doesn't use at all, the whole list of things that he listed. So she said no, she doesn't use them. So it'll be interesting to see what we have to turn to pharmaceutical-wise when nutrition fails us, and she does recommend nutrition only in the general sense. No specifics, but it's important to know when all else fails and modern medicine gets its hands on you, what you can ask your doctor about and see what medicine is right for you. Ask your doctor if you think that certain medicine is right for you. At which point he or she may look puzzled and then say they've never seen a commercial for that medicine. You can reply that you heard about it on the McCullough Report. Tell them all about Dr. McCullough, Dr. Peter McCullough, and his long body of good work coupled with his continually integrating new information, like you hear on his last McCullough Report from October 3rd over at AmericaOutloud.com, titled Courage to Face COVID-19 in Central America. And I'll see if we have the time to play that clip. Get into a clip on weather modification from Peggy Hall next, though. That's a short clip, shorter clip, so she'll cover the documents on weather modification. But getting back to this article from the Daily Mail on the youngins being affected by RSV and respiratory problems, according to the CDC. And this isn't even the recent data, as I mentioned. It's only through August 2021. The ever-present COVID-19 also interfered with the ability of the annual virus to spread, as a person already infected with it was unlikely to also catch the flu. But as society returned to normal, they began to spread again and rapidly. The knock-on effect appears to be a worrying wide in hospitalizations with common respiratory diseases. Dr. Roberts told DailyMail.com that lockdowns resulted in up to 2 years where children may not have been exposed to common respiratory viruses. Quote, there are two implications to this, he said, end quote. And we'll mention those two and cut this clip short here when we get back here on Liberation Station Radio Show. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Back here, Liberation Station radio show with you this Sunday, October 9th, and I see we have a couple calls we'll get to very soon here. Pat in Texas and Dave in New York, we'll get right to you after I finish up this article. Bring it back up on the screen. Dr. Roberts said there are two implications to this, to the lockdowns. 2 years where children may not have been exposed to the common respiratory viruses. First, the gap gives time for the viruses to mutate even further to cause more severe disease. And second, whenever immunity was built up to those viruses, it will have waned, making the immune response now much less potent. Dr. Roberts also told DailyMail.com how his son, who has just turned 2 years old, was now repeatedly coming home with infections after starting daycare. Quote, we were pre-sheltered during the pandemic, end quote, he said. Quote, but now my son has just started daycare and he is getting constant infections, end quote. There are also some concerns now over pediatric hospitals rapidly filling up with children ill with respiratory disease over September, much earlier than normally occurs. It is worrying experts about the winter when these viruses normally spread, as it suggests there could be another wave of hospitalizations. A separate study also published in the MMWR today also points to this risk. After trawling national databases, it found that out of the children surveyed, hospitalizations hit their highest level in mid-September for respiratory illnesses compared to the previous 4 years for 0 to 4 year olds. The previous record was set in the penultimate week of September 2019, when 4.3% of babies and toddlers in emergency wards had tested positive for the respiratory illness. No record-breaking surge was recorded among 5 to 17-year-olds. However, with admissions for respiratory diseases being similar to the 2 years before the COVID pandemic struck, Latest data showed that in September they made up around 35% of admissions to emergency departments, below the level for the same period in 2018, where they made up nearer 40%. And I am going to skip through this. They're talking about firearm suicide rates going up in 2021. Homicide rates as well. The graph I just breezed by on the screen for those watching on video. No data was provided on what treatments the patients got or how long they remained in hospital. Only last month, the CDC warned over rising infections with enterovirus. It called on clinicians to be on the lookout for cases and request tests from the CDC if needed. It comes after separate CDC data today found firearm suicide skyrocketed in 2021 to their highest rate in over 30 years, an alarming trend that coincided with the global COVID pandemic. More than 26,000 Americans killed themselves using a gun in 2021, or 55% of all suicides. That marks the highest rate since 1990. Suicides overall have increased over the past decade across age groups, including teens. And the rate of teen suicides caused by guns remains high. About 44% of suicide deaths in the 14 to 18-year-old age groups were caused by guns between 2015 and 2020. Suicides overall rebounded last year for the first time in 2 years, with roughly 48,000 Americans taking their own life. It's feared to be an early sign of the economically brutal effects of lockdowns and pandemic restrictions. Folks, reach out to anybody you can if you feel that you
that life isn't worth living, and talk to those who are activist-minded or those in the healthcare field, those who gravitate towards helping others. I think that those are the people who are more likely to give you a hand up, and I know that it's terrible to see relationships destroyed, all kinds of relationships destroyed, and kind of always desensitized to it, my own upbringing. So, my late adolescent upbringing in my early 20s. So, I have no problem with telling a relative that if you don't like me taking care of my fellow brothers and sisters, my fellow mankind, then it's like a dog, in a relationship. Either I go or the dog goes, and of course the person making that demand is the one who goes. So that's to compare humanity to a dog, but to my brothers and sisters, as I said. And if my family or friends think it's not worth it, they think they can't help anybody, that's what their lame excuse is for, I guess, fearing for my life. Don't want me to do things, taking on big corporations or things that maybe drive down their stock even further in case of Mosaic, as I mentioned last week, by the way, just to update you folks, they say that they have repairs after Hurricane Ian that'll take 2 to 3 weeks to repair. That was their initial report. And it came out, I think, 4 days ago. So hopefully their products, their chemical fertilizer being shown as obsolete, drive down their stock further.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
John Moore's private consultations are the most comprehensive services available any place, anywhere in the world. They're available now and provide valuable knowledge and information that protects an individual, family, or group. We provide clarity, focus, and information for you and your associates for any situation. We have just the right knowledge, just the right information from just the right professionals. Schedule your consultation for your family or group now.
contact us at thelibertyman.com. That's thelibertyman.com. Once again, thelibertyman.com.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Some people need their fears. They think it makes life clear. No one's on earth alone, yet everyone's on their own. Everything that I am, I adore. It's the reason the life's for. It's my heart that I need to be sure. Keep it pure.
Half hour of Liberation Station radio show. I'm Chris Steiner, and wanted to sum up what I was saying before the break is that if a relative or a friend wants to cut ties due to my beliefs, and usually do so without any information, and sometimes because they've never had an outlet to beat up on somebody for giving a lot of somebody who's, you know, they're give a lot of information. They're kind of hit and run folks. And example of that is, somebody. I wanted to address what somebody had said when they called. I think it was last week. We'll get to your calls in less than a minute here, folks. Pat in Texas and Dave in New York. So hold on. A friend of mine was telling me that he went to Thanksgiving, and his relatives, after his two-hour drive, it surprised him. His dad told him, hey, you have to take this COVID test before you can come in and have dinner with us. And this is a man who is dead set against anything COVID tests. He knows it's a totally fraudulent. He's involved in the community. He's done Freedom of Information Act requests in St. Petersburg, Florida, and elsewhere in and around Florida. And he knows that the PCR tests are a fraud. And he said, what am I going to do? I just drove 2 hours. I would have walked out, but hey, that's just me. That's the way I'm used to living my life, basically since the late 90s. I didn't leave certain family members. They left me. I didn't betray them, as some of them might think, by not wanting to risk myself. I mean, just risks I don't want to take. as much as I love them, but having so much, having a confidential informant for a brother, I'll say if anybody does research, that give them research. You know, back around the time when I was doing community access show and talking about Oklahoma City, and my brother actually filed a police report to the effect that I was a domestic terrorist in the planning stages, and St. Pete P. never even asked me about that. Yeah, I found out about it later in the report. So things like that, and other things that, being framed three times by him, most likely for profit, being a confidential informant, as he had admitted, it kind of makes me spot people who are honestly questioning, and those who are really threats to my own safety, that they're the kind of person who I can just censor, the kind of do-gooders who are crime stoppers going to go report me for some false reason, of course, never a good legitimate reason. That's what you can expect when you're helping healing the poor pawns of terrible evil that we have. So, Pat in Texas, let's get to your call. Right away, I want to say thanks for synchronistic information I heard you give on a recent RBN show for taking a fibrinogen test that I just heard on the aforementioned McCullough report, the last edition, October 3rd, where the guest, Dr. Maria Eugenia Barrientos, was recommending it instead of a D-dimer test, because she says it's three times less expensive. So I hadn't heard about that before, and she says it's just about as accurate as a D-dimer test. So I wanted to thank you about that. Thank you on that, and welcome you to comment on that and anything else you'd like.
I like your show, but I didn't mean to call about that, but I wanted to ask you, since you brought it up. At first they said a protocol for being sure you don't get clots is to take one baby aspirin a day, you know, 85 micro, whatever they are, grams. And now they say, no, that's bad for your heart. You ever heard that?
For your liver, any amount of aspirin.
Any amount.
So, I don't know. How might it be bad for your heart?
When I was a lab technician, which I haven't done since 1985, sometimes for a bleeder, we had to actually do an actual clot test, you know, routinely stab them and then stick some paper up there and see how long it took for it to clot, you know, looking at it. If they had an aspirin within the 5 days of that test, we weren't allowed to do it. But
you're talking about the normal type of clots, not the modern-day foot-long or longer clots that we're seeing from autopsies.
I think the D-dimer test picks up fibrins because that's mean a beginning of a clot, right? I'm probably getting it all mixed up. But anyway, just forget that. I just think about it, everybody. look at
the coagulation, like you said when you called. I'm sorry, I can't remember the show.
John Moore show.
Right, yeah, of course. Yeah.
But it was a misunderstanding there. They thought I meant a whole aspirin, and I didn't. One whole aspirin a day. I wouldn't recommend that. But anyway, back to where I was. sneezing. Have you ever heard of alfalfa for allergies?
I haven't. I just know alfalfa is very rich in a lot of minerals and nutrients, since its roots go down so far, of course, used to rotate between rotating crops. So, and I actually take it on my supplement shelf.
I think, you could buy it as powder and make a drink out of it. That's what I do. I'll put some more things in it to make it taste better. But
What have you heard? What do you know?
Gas well down here, and I don't like it. When the wind blows from that gas well, I start sneezing, you know. And so I just keep a jug of it here, and when the wind blows from that gas well, I nip on it. A bottle, a water bottle. Anyway, I was going to tell you that. Well, you ever seen a cow sneeze? Oh, well.
Yeah, I think I think I see it quite often.
Okay. Well, I wanted to ask you another thing since I got you here. Is that have you noticed or have you heard about the graphene oxide in gelatin capsules?
I haven't. No, I haven't. I'm only concerned about glyphosate.
Well, apparently, this is what I got out of it, is that it makes it tougher, so you can put liquids or other things in the gelatin capsules. I don't know. You know who you take when you take vitamins. You know if you trust them. But this here...
I don't trust them 100%. The thing is, I don't trust anyone. Even if I buy products, I'm used to buying products, and
I'll still
periodically check their ingredients because they'll often change. A lot of companies will capitalize on their good name by selling bad products or things that they know they shouldn't, or higher amount of fillers that they shouldn't. So you know, I got to thinking with gelatin capsules a few years ago, watching the High Wire, that because of the glyphosate in the gelatin, which is bad enough being from spinal cord and all sorts of connective and nervous tissue from the pigs and the cows, that the glyphosate in there is what I don't want. So I just empty out all my capsules and do a big pile of powder before I spoon them into my mouth. And I do that with about 90 capsules, so it takes a little bit of time, but unless they're cellulose, organic cellulose, for example, or which is plant based.
Check out them putting graphene oxide in there to make it tougher. Well, it looks like me like you'd have to make it black too. And my son showed me a video of cutting open I think it was the T-pox that they got out for the monkey virus, and you warm up the water and you put that black gelatin, take everything out of it, powder out, and put the gelatin capsule in there, and then you can follow it all over the glass with a magnet, just streams along behind it. Okay, there's a new anti-radiation pill. It's not only approved by the FDA, but they contract to somebody named Weiss or something to make it. FDA contracted to make it. Oh, boy. So anyway, it's black. It's a black capsule with the radiation black and white. Half of it's black. And the radiation warning thing stuck on it. And I just wanted to warn people about that. I would not take any monkeypox capsule, or I would not take any, they're just trying to give you actually a shot for that, too, also. Oh, that's the greatest thing now, you know.
I'm not going to do any vaccine.
Yeah, I know. Don't come near me with a needle. Get away. That's the way I am anymore. I wouldn't take that for sure. I mean, you know, they'll also mention the real ones, the iodine and things like that. But I just thought I'd warn people because everybody wants to pop a pill or go and get the back. So
soon we'll have little robot mosquitoes. They already have humming bots. So if a humming bot just happens to fly into you, check to see if there's a wound or anything under there. maybe we should be wearing a lot of PPE for that, because you know, they're talking about they already have the technology and the patents, and not to claim patents work, but so they have patents that they can spread whatever they want through mosquitoes. And
I heard that, and I can't say they couldn't, because I remember there was one place near the swamps down there in Florida, and they had the most AIDS cases of any place for no reason, but they had a lot of mosquitoes. Despite what people say about mosquitoes. Yeah, really.
What's in the water, or as Mar Bailey speculates in the chat room about the, in the first hour, talking about all the COVID shots that France is having to throw out.
That's wonderful.
Are they going to just add it to the water? I mean, okay, with this 522 million francs worth of COVID so-called vaccines, 33 million COVID shots, they're going to have to throw away. So, hey, they're going to get us one way or the other. I just think that all you have to do is, if you live in a bubble and you put one of those visors over you, V-I-Z-R, if folks want to see that, they're a half a spacesuit that fit over top half of your body, and maybe I would add a little bit more ventilation, ozonation to it to keep the air fresh inside, an oxygen accumulator as well to pump in some fresh oxygen. But those are some modifications I would add, and we're all going to have to go around to not protect ourselves from germs, but from the government. Wear your armor all the time when you go out.
I know what you mean. China's used to it from their bad air, you know, and we saw them wearing it. Well, I guess, you know, it's all right. You know, they have masks everywhere with bad air, you know. Well, when you
chemtrails.
Can see the air, you know. You can see you have bad air. I can understand
that. You see the chemtrails. Yeah, we all can see them since about the 90s, so I think most of us.
Yeah,
let's tell the younger generation just to throw that in there in case the homeschoolers are listening. You know that back in the 90s, we didn't used to have chemtrails until about the mid-90s, most of us. Pat, thanks. We got to get on to Dave, and hopefully this clip on weather modification that Peggy Hall has. So thanks, Pat, for calling. And Dave in New York, good afternoon. What's on your mind?
Hello, Chris. I couldn't hear you too well, but
how about now?
Shedding's getting me. It was just my phone, whatever. It's rather interesting. A lot of things are coming out, and I think there was a recent, this whole thing about asymptomatic spread, it was funny. I put in the chat room there that Fleming had sent out a tweet, because I get some notifications of his tweets. He does a million of them, I guess. And he said that there was an article that showed that there was asymptomatic spread existed. So I asked him, how does this article show this? Because I looked over the article, it didn't seem to make sense. So rather strange information coming out. Sometimes I wonder if both sides of an argument are lying, are set there to deceive you for one reason or another. You know, and you got Fulmic saying different things too. So, but beyond that, and this lady, she was some medical person for many, many years. And she said, listen, you know, out of like 10 million people, 300 people might have got sick, but there was, I don't know. I mean, it was just like the asymptomatic spread chance was so minuscule that it really doesn't exist, is what she was saying. I think
so,
that...
Yeah, margin of error within... So statistically insignificant. Another thing on the CDC's website, they recommend on the PCR test, it says... Testing asymptomatic persons should be avoided as it increases the likelihood of obtaining falsely positive results.
Yeah, I mean, you're getting it out of the nose, and I think it's Dr. Whatever, the chiropractor who was on with you before, down
Dr.
in your
Kevin
area.
Dr. Stillwagon or Dr. Jared Roscoe.
As he points out, he's there, listen, what do you think the snot in your nose is for? It's to accumulate these virus particles and... And then they never make it in. If they don't get into the skin, you're not infected. So he's, you know, very brilliant, simple points that he makes. I love it. But
all right, so you know, you're testing your mucous membranes, and that doesn't mean it's moved on to the respiratory, any part of the respiratory tract, any other
right,
part.
Right, right, and the whole fact
is not showing it's gone down through. You know, it looks like it's an upper respiratory infection, according to the doctor I mentioned in the last McCullough report, Dr. Maria Eugenia Barrientos. You know, it takes at least a week to have a chance to move on down, set up shop in the sinus.
Yeah, whatever. And then they said vaccinated people didn't have the protection in their nasal passages that unvaccinated people had. It was suppressed or something. So I don't have the details on that, just throwing it out. But the thing about the shocking thing, and, you know, I've always thought this vaccine, people are saying, it's going to kill all these people. Everybody who got it's going to die in 3 to 5 years. And Cahill's saying this, and Rentz is pushing this, and somebody here, you know, listen. I have no way to predict that. Maybe these experts have some reasonable mechanism that they can suggest to believe this. I don't believe it till I see it. But the whole thing, you know, certainly killed some people, and it's doing weird things. But it's doing weird things is the problem. It's like the abomination that desolates. I mean, this comes into my mind. It's not exactly what the scripture says, but it is about being in the temple. It's about a sacrifice in the temple. Listen. Your body is a temple. So there's a great, you know, literary analogy here that we can draw. And furthermore, you know, in Genesis it says the day that you eat thereof, you will certainly die. Well, these people are now Borg, Homo Borgs, instead of whatever sapiens that they've been calling them. I think half the people are homos anyway, but something or other. but listen, I think the transhumanizing element that could be present here, I'm not saying it is, but a lot of these people observed all kinds of this stuff, and then other people say, you know, it's not there, and it's fake. And Fleming said it was fake, too, you know, and it came right out and said it's junk, you know, this is, and he did it without, I think he did it really off the cuff too abruptly, rather than sitting back and looking at it, you know. I say, okay, let's look at what we find out over time. And the Karen Kingston interview with Mike Adams, you know, Mike Adams is the guy who puts anything out, and he puts, you know, crazy, you know, watch out for your tap water. But I think that may be coming to the tap water issue with other things, but it could. But, you know, that was crazy. That was, you know, baseless and just defamatory towards all kinds of people who adopted it. But he also was the one who put out in 2020 an article, a scientific publication that showed the spike protein was a biotoxin. Now, this is a great reason why, you know, I knew at that time this was a problem. And if you ever looked at Trump's Abraham Accord coin, it shows it's all in a chain of things on the symbols on the scimitar. It's all in a chain of this biocontrol mechanism. And so I think Karen Kingston's article is very interesting that she's showing in the patents. I haven't looked at all these patents, but this is something we should look at, Chris, and delve into more, because if this is what's happening, this is very serious. And you got how many, what percentage of the world's population have you got, you know, now being infested with these Borg hydrogel bio-nano particulates, self-assembled?
I don't know, I guess, or maybe we'll have to run a black light over them, or some light of some frequency. I'm wondering.
Well, no. I mean,
maybe there's some way that the elite know that we do not yet publicly, as widely as.
Well, Chris, or somebody knows. They've been destroying people's will in many ways through media and different mind control methods, and who knows what they're putting in the food, but they're destroying the will now in another way. It seems that their actions and thoughts could be modified if this is all happening. I'm saying if, okay? So we should look into this, and that's all I wanted to say. Something to think about.
Yeah, we do. We do on the show. I don't get into cybernetics every show, but I think if folks want to check out a lot of breaking research, I'd go to La Quinta and Lacuna from Spain. Dr. Judy, RedVoiceMedia.com, Sue Peters, pardon me?
Was it Mikovits? But
oh gosh,
readers will print anything.
I'm drawing a blank because I'm a little frustrated with my computer not cooperating to play this next clip here, Dave. So
go ahead.
But go the Stu Peters show, and I'll come up with it by the end of the show here. So, Dave, thanks for calling. I appreciate it. We don't have enough time to play this whole clip. This is clip number 3, Project Sirius, Government Admits to Manipulating Hurricanes, video posted by Peggy Hall of thehealthyamerican.org. She usually takes on health issues, but this is a lot of government documents, letters showing that weather manipulation exists. She posted on the Healthy American Peggy Hall channel on YouTube, September 30th, 2022. When you're ready, Sam, please roll it. Sam, do you have clip 3 ready to roll? Okay. Going off, show it up on screen.
And here we go. We're hopping right on over, and this is the Comptroller General of the United States. This is a document in 1972. It's a response to an inquiry made by a senator, Senator Schweiker. And it says, this is in response to your request of September 22nd. So think about that. How many years ago is that? 1971, about 50 years ago? For certain background information on cloud seeding activities carried out in the United States under programs supported by federal agencies. And I'm going to show you a second document that is very, very compelling. But here I wanted to direct you where he is saying, yes, indeed, we have had federal agencies involved in cloud seeding and on the types of chemicals used for their seeding and their effect on the environment. We also obtained data concerning the extent of cloud seeding conducted over Pennsylvania. All right, this is, 50 years ago, and I just want to show you that it's on the record. So here's what I want to direct your attention to. Okay, several federal agencies support weather modification programs, period. There, the government is on record stating that they modify the weather. And this goes back many, many, many decades. This is just something that I pulled up and wanted to share with you. So major research programs, and this is 50 years ago, so you know that it's been accelerated. Why in the world would it go backwards? Here we go. It includes precipitation modification. Now, we don't know whether that means to reduce it or increase it. Fog and cloud modification, hail suppression, and lightning and hurricane modification. There you go. The name of my broadcast today is The Government Admits to Modifying and Manipulating and Controlling Hurricanes. And here you go. So I want to show you, here it is, lightning modification, hurricane modification. Now, this is 50 years ago, so the numbers, probably are much larger these days. And there have been different agencies that have been involved. Here we go. Several, different federal agencies. The research I did previously said that it was the Department of the Navy, the Department of the Air Force, the General Electric, and that's what I want to show you next. That's not a federal agency, but it might as well be one because of all of the money and all of the research that it does for the government.
We'll have to cut it off right there. We only had a few more minutes left of that video from Peggy Hall. I haven't hunted down that piece of information that I wanted, but Stu Peters has a lot, as I was mentioning, on the cybernetic approach for those COVID shots. The cybernetics incorporating their synthetic genetics into ours. We'll be back next Sunday.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.